So, continuing the reading from St. Siloan the Athenite on the knowledge of God. Here is an enigma. There are souls that have come to know the Lord. There are souls that have not come to know him, but believe in him. And there are others still that not only do not know God, but do not believe either. And among their number are to be found learned men. Pride is at the root of unbelief. The proud man would acquire knowledge of things through his mind and his studying. But it is not given to him to learn to know God, in that the Lord reveals himself only to the lowly in heart. To the lowly in heart does the Lord discover his works, which are beyond the understanding of our minds, but are unfolded through the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. This reminds me of St. Porphyrios, who had such knowledge, not only the gifts of insight and foreknowledge and so on, and history, but he also had knowledge of, one would say, worldly disciplines, advising doctors, surgeons on how to treat their patients, what to look for, where to look for the solution to their questions regarding diagnosing the illnesses of certain patients, and even where he advised one of the members, scientists at NASA, when I think it was Apollo 13, they couldn't connect with Apollo 13 and bring it back to Earth. And he advised one of the scientists was a spiritual child of his, and he told him exactly what the problem was. And he said to him, when you go to the meeting where they're discussing how to bring the spaceship back, you will wait patiently for everyone else to speak first. And then at the end, you will just humbly say, this and this. I don't know what the technical problem was and how he solved it. But that's what his spiritual child at the time did. And so they were able to bring back the spaceship, reconnect with it and bring it back to Earth safely. And I'm just struck by what St. Siloan says here, that to the lowly in heart does the Lord discover his works, which are beyond the understanding of our minds, but are unfolded through the Holy Spirit. There was a lady, they used to call her Tall Maria. She was unusually tall. It was an illness that she had. And gigantism, I think the term was, she was a giant. And that caused all kinds of problems. And somebody said to her at some later stage in her life, oh, why don't we go and see Elder Porphyrios? Maybe he will be able to help you. And she said, what, the old man who's going to talk like this? And she even ridiculed him a little bit by saying, you're going to talk to me like this. And they said, let's go, you never know. So she went reluctantly, and as soon as she met Father Porphyrios, he said to her, and she said to him, Father, the doctors tell me that I'm going to lose my vision. I'm going to become blind. And he said, no, you're not going to become blind. Your bones will begin to break. And she said, no. She came to America. She went to all the best doctors. They couldn't find a solution to her situation. And she said again, I'm going to be blind. He said, no, you're not going to be blind. You're going to have problems with your bones. They will break. They will become brittle and they will break. So she stopped insisting. And then her mother was with her. And she said, you know, we've been everywhere. We've tried to find a solution. We don't know what to do anymore. We don't know how this happened. The doctors don't know what it is. And he said to her mother, in front of everyone, he said, do you remember when you were 2 months pregnant with Maria, how you went to see a doctor? And the mother said, no, I don't really. Just try to remember when you were on the bus going from this place to that place on your way to see a doctor who gave you some pills for the problem that you were having 2 months into the pregnancy with Maria. And then it began to come back to her a little bit, but he described everything as though he was there at the time and he could see everything. He said, those pills, the pills that the doctor gave you, are the problem. That's why he gave you the wrong pills and it caused this problem. And later on, it turned out that Maria did not lose her sight, tall Maria. She had brittle bones and they broke. And in fact, it was so bad that one of them pierced her skin. It was very, very difficult. But she became a saintly woman and really a saint in the full sense of the word. But why did I think of that? Just because of this sentence in St. Silouan where he says, the Holy Spirit teaches you what you need to know. The works of the Lord are beyond understanding and our minds, the understanding of our minds, but they are unfolded to us by the Holy Spirit. With the mere mind, he says, we can only come to know the things of this earth, and even then only in part, while God and all that is of heaven are known through the Holy Spirit. Some there are who spend their whole lives trying to find out what there is on the sun or the moon, or in seeking like knowledge. Yet this is of no profit to the soul. But if we take pains to explore the human heart, this is what we shall see. The kingdom of heaven in the soul of the saint, but in the soul of the sinner, darkness and torment. And it is good to know this, because we shall dwell eternally either in the kingdom or in torment. Though a man be eager to investigate everything he sees on earth and in heaven, if he is not given to prayer and does not know the Lord or seek to know him, then when he hears other men teaching of God, he says, now, how is it possible to know God? And how is it that you know him? I would reply, says St. Silouan, the Holy Spirit is witness. The Holy Spirit knows, and he instructs us. But can anyone see the Spirit? The apostles saw the Spirit descending in tongues of fire, and we feel his presence within us, sweeter far than all earthly things. The prophets tasted him and spoke to the people, and the people hearkened unto them. The holy apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost and preached salvation to mankind, fearing naught, for the Spirit of God was their strength. When St. Andrew was threatened with death upon the cross, if he did not cease preaching, he replied, if I feared the cross, I should not be preaching the cross. In this manner, all the other apostles, and after them the martyrs and holy men who wrestled against evil, went forward with joy to meet pain and suffering. And all because the Holy Spirit, sweet and gracious, draws the soul to love the Lord, and in the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, the soul loses her fear of suffering. So when we see in the saints who are filled with the Holy Spirit, their love of God is greater than the fear of the sufferings that threaten them. Many holy martyrs came to know the Lord and His help in the time of their sufferings. Many monks strive much and endure valiantly for the Lord's sake. They too have come to know the Lord and contend against their passions and pray for the whole universe. The grace of God teaches them to love their enemies. Since the man who has no love for his enemies cannot come to know the Lord. Yes, the grace of God teaches them to love their enemies, since the man who has no love for his enemies cannot come to know the Lord, who died on the cross for his enemies. Sometimes, you know, we don't realize that until we are no longer divided in our allegiance, we're still the enemies of God. And until we give ourselves entirely over to His will, we're still divided. And yet, He gives us Himself. In His church, He gives us all the sacraments, forgiveness. He gives us His very body and blood, even though we are not yet entirely given over to His will, entirely His servants. He died on the cross for His enemies and gave us an example in Himself with the commandment to love our enemies. The Lord is love, and He commanded us to love one another and to love our enemies. And the Holy Spirit instructs us in this love. The soul that has not come to know the Holy Spirit does not understand how it is possible to love one's enemies and will not accept this commandment. But the Lord has pity on all, and he who would be with the Lord must love his enemies. The man to whom the Lord is known through the Holy Spirit becomes like unto the Lord. As St. John the Divine said, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, quote unquote, and we shall behold his glory. You will say that a great many people are suffering every kind of adversity and from evil men. But I entreat you, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and grace will be your teacher, and you yourself will long to suffer for the sake of the love of the Lord. That is what the Holy Spirit, whom we have come to know in the church, will teach you. But the man who cries out against evil men, but does not pray for them, will never know the grace of God. If you would know of the Lord's love for us, hate sin and evil thoughts, and day and night pray fervently, the Lord will then give you His grace, and you will know Him through the Holy Spirit. And after death, when you enter into paradise, there too you will know the Lord through the Holy Spirit as you knew Him on earth. Both in heaven and on earth, the Lord is made known only by the Holy Spirit and not through ordinary learning. Even children who have no learning at all come to know the Lord by the Holy Spirit. St. John the Baptist felt the presence of the Lord while still in his mother's womb. St. Simeon Stylites of the Wonderful Mountain was a 7-year-old boy when the Lord appeared to him and he knew him. St. Seraphim was a grown man of 27 when the Lord appeared to him during the liturgy, whereas Simeon the righteous, was stricken with years when he received the Lord into his arms in the temple and knew him. Thus does the Lord bend his ways to us to bring the more comfort to every soul. The Lord's love is made known in no other wise than through the Holy Spirit. But the peaceable soul that preserves a pure conscience comes to know God from his works, that he created heaven and earth. And this too is the working of grace, though as yet in small measure. Whereas without grace, we cannot come to know God with our minds, but are continually drawn to the things of this earth, to riches, honor, and glory, and other satisfactions. Just as the love of Jesus Christ is beyond our understanding, so we cannot conceive the depth of his suffering, because our own love for the Lord is so infinitesimal. But with greater love comes more understanding, even of the Lord's sufferings. There is love in small degree, modest love, and perfect love. And the more perfect our love, the more perfect our knowledge. We may say that we are able to treat of God only in so far as we have known the grace of the Holy Spirit. For how can a man think on and consider a thing that he has not seen or heard tell of and does not know? Now the saints declare that they have seen God, yet people say that God is not. No doubt they say this inasmuch as they have not known God. But that does not at all mean that he does not exist. The saints speak of that which they have actually seen, of that which they know. They do not speak of something they have not seen. They do not tell us, for instance, that they have seen a horse 1 mile long or a steamer 10 miles long, which do not exist. And I think that if God were not, then there would be no intimation of him on earth. But people want to live after their own fashion, and consequently, they declare that God is not, and in so doing, they establish that he is. Even the souls of the heathen sensed that God is, though they were ignorant how to worship the true God. But the Holy Spirit instructed the prophets of old, and after them the apostles, and then our holy fathers and bishops. And in this wise, the true faith came down to us, and we knew the Lord
by the Holy Spirit, and when we knew him, our souls were confirmed in him. The soul that has come to know the Lord is instinctively sensible of the presence of her Creator and dwells in him in great peace and joy. To what can I liken this joy? It is like the joy that abounds when a beloved son returns to his father's house after long years in a far country and can talk to his dear ones, his father and mother, brothers and sisters, to his heart's content. O ye peoples of the earth fashioned by God, know your Creator and his love for us. Know the love of Christ and live in peace, and thereby rejoice the Lord, who in his mercy waits for all men to come to him. Turn to him, all ye peoples of the earth, and lift up your prayers to God. And the prayers of the whole earth shall rise to heaven like a soft and lovely cloud lit by the sun, and all the heavens will rejoice and sing praises to the Lord for his sufferings, whereby he saved us. Know, all ye peoples, that we are created for the glory of God in the heavens. Cleave not to the earth, for God is our Father, and he loves us like dear children. Sometimes it's difficult to understand how someone like Saint Silouan can write on such an intense level so consistently. It's difficult to read such writings, difficult for people like me, because of the intensity of his word. Just as the Lord's words are loaded, they are charged with the grace and the love and the life of God, so too is it the case with his saints. Their words are full of the grace of God, filled with the grace of God. And I'm reminded of a certain episode in the life of Saint Silouan, which Father Sofroni recounts in the first part of this book, when a famous ascetic, a hermit ascetic from the Caucasus, was visiting the holy monastery of Saint Pantaleimon on Mount Athos, whose name was Father Stratonikos, and many looked forward to his visit and wanted to meet him and to receive his blessing. And among them was the young Simeon, Saint Silouan, who was still at that time a novice. And in preparation for Father Stratonikos's visit, Simeon prayed all night long the previous night, asking God to bless the meeting so that he would receive a word for the salvation of his soul. And when the time came, Simeon wrote down on a piece of paper three questions, and Father Sofroni notes those three questions in his narrative of this event. It was quite an event in the life of the monastery of St. Pantaleimon. So in the morning, when the brethren gathered to hear Father Stratonikos, at one point Father Stratonikos noticed that the novice Simeon was sitting on the floor in a corner with his head bowed, and he said, "Brother, perhaps you have a question." And Simeon obeyed and said his question. And his question was, how do the perfect speak? And Stratonikos was struck by the question, recognized the grace contained in it, and turned the question around and said, you tell us, Brother Simeon, how do the perfect speak? And again, in obedience, Simeon said, the perfect never say anything of themselves. They only say what the Spirit inspires them to say. And this is truly a great saying which the Lord has given us through his saint, Siloam the Athenite. But perhaps what is even more remarkable than the saying itself is the fact that this is how he lived his life. And we see this, as I was saying earlier, in the remarkable consistency of intensity in the word of Saint Siloam. You could open his writings at any place and read a sentence, and that could be enough for the rest of the day. Such is the grace of Siloam's word. Sometimes the soul desires and needs to be fed a little more than at other times, but it's very difficult to take such writings in large quantity, because really you have to be at the same level of the saint in order to endure. Like the three apostles at the Lord's transfiguration, they could only endure the vision of Christ in glory for a brief moment. And so it is also with the words of the saints. We all want to be blessed with holy elders and to have elders as our guides and our spiritual fathers. But it's not easy to live with an elder, to spend time with an elder, because every moment is a challenge. It's filled with love and the vision of the humility of Christ in a concrete way is seen in holy elders, holy men and women that the Lord gives us. But in order to be with them and to stay with them, you have to be willing to become like them. And that is how it is with God, and that is how it is with his saints. It's normal. So I say this in recognition of how simple this is, but at the same time how challenging it is. Talking about the spiritual life of the church, our spiritual life, the most personal, most sensitive subject of all. And you know, whatever you do in the church, you reveal your own spiritual state. When you serve as clergy in the church, when you read, when you sing, even when you're standing in prayer as a simple member of the congregation, you're revealing your spiritual state. And it's a challenge. Of course, the Lord wants to raise us up to the right hand of God the Father, but this is a journey, and no one can do it in one go. So the writings of the saints are like medicine. They're not always easy to take, but it's important for us to know where the medicine is, so that in times of trouble we can turn to them for healing, for inspiration, so that we are comforted. And when we are comforted by the Comforter, we are able to comfort others.